And now, from the University of Chicago English Language Institute, The Diaspora Files, with your host, Roberto Albores. Welcome to the Ellis Finding Chicago Global Perspectives podcast series for APP 2020. I am your host, Roberto Albores, and I am currently enrolled in the University of Chicago's Carey School of Public Policy. Today's episode is Miss Van der Rooy, a star of the German diaspora in Chicago architecture. Let's get started. The word immigration has increasingly come to be politically charged, and unfortunately, many times with negative connotations. Not going so far in the last USA presidential election, anti-immigrant rhetoric paid great dividends.
When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
Nonetheless, the strength and greatness of a nation, state, or city cannot be understood without people's permanent movement and their sense of community and heritage. In Franklin Delano Roosevelt's words, "Remember, remember always that all of us, you and I especially, are descended from immigrants and revolutionists." End quote. So by that I prefer to use the word diaspora, that means dispersion in Greek, when considering immigrant populations, because it is crucial for everyone to acknowledge that diasporas bring benefits rather than burdens. It is the nature of this podcast series to talk about the greatness of immigration. Since the rise of the first cities, migrants have been an invaluable asset not only to their new country, but also to their country of origin. We will talk specifically about this phenomenon in the Windy City, our Chicago. Without a doubt, the accruals of the diaspora outweigh the cost. The enhance of a richer and more diverse culture, the brain gains of highly qualified people, the expansion of economic opportunities, the spur of entrepreneurship and the transfer of knowledge and skills are examples of these benefits. Our city of Chicago is a remarkable exemplification of the diaspora and its incredible effects in different ways. Just look at the Albany Park neighborhood, described as Chicago gateway to the world, with over 40 languages spoken in its schools, or look at the 14 magnificent buildings created by German architect Miss Van der Rooy to perceive this phenomenon's magnitude. In short, migration stories define Chicago history, filling it with tales of hope, endurance, and destiny. I will talk about a fantastic story that has influenced Chicago architecture in today's podcast, Miss Van der Rooy, a star of the German diaspora in Chicago architecture. The question that arises is organic. How can a middle-aged immigrant be a breakthrough to Chicago history? Less is more. That Miss Van der Rooy quote has long been modernism tagline. And this couldn't be another way, because along with Alvar Aalto, Le Corbusier, Walter Gropius, and Frank Lloyd Wright, he is regarded as one of the pioneers of modernist architecture. After Nazism rise to power, with a strong opposition to modernism, the master Mies came to live in the United States. He was 52 and spoke no English. It was 1937, and he had already reached high flights in his career in Europe and nothing to prove. Mies was the last director of the Bauhaus, a seminal school in architecture that, according to the date, was characterized as a combination of the arts and crafts movement with modernism, emphasizing function and aimed to bring art back into contact with everyday life. Truth be told, one can imagine that both the city of Chicago and the architect Mies generate a perfect symbiotic relationship, or both were two ends of the same pendulum. On one extreme, Mies Van der Rooy came to live in the American Mecca of architecture, and the city that by itself makes for the one of the greatest museums of architecture in the world. Definitely, this atmosphere complements his work. After all, it was in Chicago where Mies built more. Also, it is no coincidence that two of the world's great modernist architects lived in Chicago, Wright and Mies. By the way, and just as a curious fact, according to the biographer Frank Schulz, they never got along. On the other extreme, Mies came to establish a new dialogue and style within Chicago City. By the 1960s, Miss had clearly broken from the traditional Chicago aesthetic and developed a modern style, as William Rice points well. Miss ushered a new age of architecture with his glass and steel high-rise apartments at Lakeshore Drive. Completed in 1952, they were the first to be built without mortar and were free of exterior decoration. Their influence can be seen in countless steel and glass towers that sprang up in the cities around the world. After all, Chicago cannot be understood without Miss Van der Rohe's work. Other Hawkmark designs that continue to grade Chicago are the campus that will become the new Illinois Institute of Technology and its very famous Grand Hall, where is reflected the Less is More philosophy, or also San Xavier Chapel, the only church built by Miss and known as God Box. Precisely in the own words of Miss about the chapel, we can elucidate with clarity his philosophy. I quote, "There is nothing spectacular about the chapel. It was not meant to be spectacular. It was meant to be simple, and in fact, it is simple. But in its simplicity, it is not primitive, but noble, and in its smallness, it is great, in fact, monumental." Continuing with Miss's work in Chicago, we will notice other famous constructions such as the IBM Plaza, the Chicago Federal Center, the One Illinois Center, the School of Social Service and Administration within the University of Chicago, and outside the city, in Plano, Illinois, the Farnsworth House, that according to the Chicago Tribune, there is nothing which can be taken away from it, making it as perfect as a building can be, or as Philip Johnson said, the Farnsworth House with its continuous glass walls is an even simpler interpretation of an idea, achieving Miss's concept of a strong relationship between the house and nature. To summarize this symbiotic relationship between Miss and Chicago, I quote the University of Chicago website. "The Loop is celebrated for pioneering the skyscraper in the late 19th century and reinventing it in the mid-20th century under the leadership of Ludwig Mies van der Rohe. Taking all into consideration, not only Mies' legacy in Chicago and the U.S. stays in his constructions. He played a significant role as an educator and developed the second Chicago school that has consistently produced leading architects who have shaped the Chicago skyline throughout this time. According to Frank Schulz, he spent the next 20 years training a generation of architects and influencing countless others with the buildings and homes he designed in the austere international style he brought with him from the Bauhaus. So, to close today's podcast, undoubtedly Ludwig Mies van der Rohe has been one of the most significant influences in American architecture. Mies lived and worked in Chicago until his death in 1969, and I am sure this giant of architecture became a Chicagoan, so Chicago became an essential part of him. Mies is a remarkable example of the magnitude of immigrants' ideas that foster cultures. He represents extraordinary brain gains that creative and entrepreneurial people give to society, and he describes a kind of diaspora of talented people from all around the world that has helped make the United States a great country. A diaspora that our university, the University of Chicago, always have encouraged. In short, Mies is a diaspora star that came to America to enrich its culture fully. Thank you everyone for hearing me. Have a great week. It has been an honor to be with you. See you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Diaspora Files, brought to you by the University of Chicago English Language Institute. Special thanks to Christian Fiorite, that without her help, this podcast wouldn't have been possible. For more programming, visit voices.uchicago.edu.
Architecture as a language. And I think you have to have a grammar in order to have a language. If you are good at that, you speak a wonderful prose, and if you are really good, you can be a poet.